jamais ôté mon chapeau devant personne. Maintenant je rampe et je fais le beau quand elle me sonne. J'étais chien méchant, elle me fait manger dans sa menette. J'avais des dents de loup, je les ai changées pour des quenottes.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's good morning here where I am, whatever time you're listening to it. It's a beautiful day. I've just come back from my friend's farm to meet her horse, Lucy. So it's been a wonderful morning for me, but now for us, I'm going to address this marvelous, strong, fiery word called tapas. Now, I know a lot of you follow along, and so you'll be glad to get this word and the niyama practice down for your reading and listening. But some might be finding this for the first time. So what am I talking about? Well, it's Nenette Curry here and taking you through your yamas and niyamas. Let me just tell you, if you're new and you're going to stay listening, what are they? Well, in the Yoga Sutras, Patanjali gives us the eight limbs of yoga. But it's more than that, because some people may not do yoga, but they're very interested in life. And we're in the second limb, called the niyamas. The niyamas guide us in ways to look after our personal well-being. We've done saucha, purity. We've done santosha, contentment. And we're now going to do tapas. Now, after tapas, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to also go into the last two. And they join together to make for us a tremendous grounding. So I'm starting here saying that the word tapas has got many ways of interpretation. Let me say it's fire for your practice, whatever your practice is. And even though I come from a practice of strengthening my whole being, finding out about my whole being, my mind, my physical, my spirit, practice is being able to have the effort to get to it. Maybe it's golf, maybe it's swimming, and I come from the background of yogic knowledge and practice and experience. But it's for all of us to use in ways that will enhance our journey. It is the effort. And for some, if I said the spiritual fire, they would not be put off with that. They'd say, yep, I understand. We have to have it in ourselves to make the next step. You're going to have a lot of rustling today. I'm working from a different desk, and I've got lots of pieces of paper. So if you hear a little rustle, it's just me getting to the next step. Tapas. It's what changes us. It's what we can do that keeps our health necessary in the ways that we can follow along and understand our direction. Sometimes it's taking a big step. It's not shying away from the effort that is needed and for us to have the confidence to know that we can take the next step. In my early training books, tapas in brackets, it said, self-discipline, commitment, and that eternal fire that is yours, whether you do it quietly or whether you do it a little bit outwardly. Also, when we do it from a physical sense or a meditative sense, what we're burning away is impurities of self-doubt, impurities of a bit of laziness, not sure. It's that mental getting rid of that which holds us back and having the courage to step and get the spark of us going again. Now, I'll go over that when we do how do we do it. But I have a story. A number of years ago, I was in India, northern India, Khajuraho, and we were up doing a yoga practice, and the teacher talked about stoking the fire. And you know, right there and then I thought of when I was a little girl and staying at my Nana and Papa's. My Nana needed to go out to work early in the morning as my Papa at that time was not well. And she had such courage to keep the family together and going. But as she'd walk out the door, I used to hear her saying and sing out, "Jim, don't forget to stoke the fire, please." I think she probably meant the copper where she had washing on for when she came back from doing the work early in the morning in the city, that things would be ready to get the washing going. But stoke the fire. Look at the different ways we can learn from this and listen to this and think on it. So there's no necessary one way to do it, but we need to stoke our fire. If I'm working with my older adults, we need to get the practice of their abdomen and their bowel and their digestion. But for all of us, we need to stoke that fire of who we are in the way that feels just right for us. It's about zeal, and they also talk about internal heat. So in my yoga practices and my teaching, I certainly improve the necessary firing in the breathing practices and the movements, and look out for contraindications for people that may need to do only certain ones. Another one of the teachers at the Himalayan Institute introduces it at times like this. It may seem quieter and a little softer, but how helpful and wise when he sits and says, "You know what tapas is? Tapas is when you don't feel like getting up in the morning. For whatever last night was or yesterday was, you don't feel like getting out of bed. It might be cold. You'll do it later." And if you continue daily to do the practice of the yamas and niyamas, take them into your spirit and give yourself a few weeks to embrace these. When it comes to tapas, you'll be very glad you knew about it. Because when you don't turn over and go back to sleep, but you've had enough experience to know that you're getting up, doing your meditation, doing your breathing, doing your morning stretches out on the deck, reading your books, when you take care of you first, then that little voice says, "Get up, love. Come on." You know when you've done your practice that you're helping your whole being, the life you wish to lead. You're helping it serve you better and give you better energy. Come on, love, get up. Now, the voice and the whisper might be smaller than that, and you might yawn and groan a little bit, but you've done the tapas. You've done the discipline, so you know that it works. It's having the courage to just do what is yours to be done. And I say to my people, just get on your mat. Even if it's for 5 minutes, get on your mat. I know it's been read somewhere in one of the books, I think probably a student somewhere. Well, I didn't get to it, so I started to put my mat alongside my bed. So when the whisper calls, and I take it because I want my life to be rich and well in every way, I roll onto my mat. And you know, that's got to make you smile, because it doesn't come on a platter to us. You know, the word tapas comes from tap, meaning, you know, hot. And then, you know, tapas can mean a little bit of austerities, a little bit, not suffering, but a little bit of doing it. And for those of us that choose because we want to be fit for a sport, or we want to age really well, we don't want to let ourselves be drawn into an aging pulling us down, which it doesn't have to. And for those seeking a spiritual understanding of life, tapas is vitally important. Here it says, In those times when we don't know how to get through the next minute of what seems to be unknown and overwhelming to us, can we hold on until we are somehow blessed by our willingness to hang in there? Is it that we have a confrontation and we don't fire up loudly to them, but we take it in and sit with our breath, maybe to say something or nothing, but we stay through a struggle because afterwards, if we've chosen kindly but with our strength, we will notice a blessing? But there are many times, you know, we're not shaped by running away from it. We're shaped by staying in rather than check out from running from the pain or the uncomfortableness of it. So Tapas is a real learning zone. It grounds us. It also gives us the courage to know more about us. Physically, that internal fire, removing impurities. That's why I do the kriyas and the cleanses in yoga practice. But also mentally. So I've just come back from the farm to meet Lucy with my friend. I've got a very busy day. And I felt a little weary. But I also know I've got some really lots of book work to do today, which is hard on my mind if I do it for hours. So I took the opposite of Tapas, is give yourself the rest. So I lied on my mat and I did one of my relaxations. So what I was doing was removing all of the overload in my mind, in my emotions, in my mental state. And here I am coming to you, and I am in a much more clear space. Having the courage to face things gives us another look at things, what we can do, but maybe not now, we have to work towards them. And it goes along with sadhana, the practice of yours that I will be teaching both in the January time for anyone that wants it, and also into next year. Tapas, having us know that we can always meet the challenges with a wise awareness of ourselves. So we know where we want to go. We know what the next step is. Why do we do tapas? Well, it sure gives us a knowledge of our enthusiasm. It gives us a sense of how we are in our life right now. Whether we practice tapas by showing up on our mat every morning for regular practice or throughout the day, or whether it's constant acts of awareness and selflessness and being really present with people. What happens when we stay very present in sometimes the heat of things, or the discipline of things, or the enthusiasm of things that we have to temper down? What we're really offering ourselves is the next higher version of what we can know about ourselves. And then the question comes in the mornings or at any time, what are we practicing for? When was the last time, before you started your practice, you asked yourself, why am I practicing? Sometimes we forget that we had to walk and practice. We fell down, walked and practiced, fell down. We fell many times. It was the practicing that got us walking. Ray Charles, the wonderful pianist and singer, was asked later in his career if he still practiced and prepared for concerts. He replied that he played scales every day because when the scales were in his fingertips, he could play anything with joy. So tapas is the whisper, but the deep, courageous discipline that we want to have the joy of meeting something, doing something, experiencing something, getting fit enough for something, learning something about ourselves. The journey of becoming who you really are. Why our fulfilling life that waits ahead of us requires embracing things day after day rather than running from any difficulty that we might think of. That's the true education. Staying fulfilling rather than running away. Unless it was not healthy for you, I understand that. But I really want to give you the positive. It's that burning enthusiasm without burning yourself out. Just come to love 5 minutes of your practice. Work in a way that brings you joy and engagement. And I have found that when I'm fatigued, overwhelmed, then I can't bring the open-mindedness to get joy in what I have to do. That's why I went and lied down before I know I have an afternoon of quite a lot of work to do. It's really an amazing venture if you feel you understand why you do something. To lead a life that's healthy, even if it's a simple life, richly fulfilled. To feel that you can manage balance. So tapas, heat, enthusiasm, get to do it, but then take the time to rest. Or even sometimes when I've been asked the question, I've had to know, why am I shying away from the effort it would take? Why am I shying away without intention? Can I put myself into the discipline of it? And sometimes just sitting with that guides me. It just guides me enough to know why. I'm shifting over to the how. For my yoga students, when we're using tapas, and we will be doing it in our yoga classes, it's when we do the Sphinx, it's when we do Agni, it's when we do the plank, it's when we do the Surya Namaskara, salute to the sun, and we notice our breathing, we practice before it, and we do it over and over and over. So you've taken a big step in either holding the pose with all the right requirements of your skeleton and your muscles and your intention and your breath, then taking the time to rest a little. It's transformative. It can be fully transformative when you do that thing that whispers to you, don't let it slide. You know if you let it slide, it doesn't stay with you. It goes away if it's unchecked. Why should it stay if we're not up to the challenge? I'm going to read this now because it's on the same page. In one of the books called The Basics of Yoga Philosophy. Now, I haven't mentioned this yet, but tapas is really one of three. The next one we'll be doing is called Svadhyaya, and that's self-observation. And then you'll have Ishavara, Pranadhana, and that is acceptance of, surrender to, listen to. But look, listen to this. Isn't this wonderful? They put it in to the echo of the serenity prayer. Tapas is the courage to change what you can. Ishvara Pranadhana is the serenity to accept what you can't change. And Svadhyaya is the self-observation and the wisdom to know the difference. And it says here, gratitude to Leslie Kaminoff for this lesson. And I want to give credit to those that have written those words like that. I thought that was quite wonderful. So it spans time. My own teacher at the Himalayan Institute very recently, because they're all getting ready to do a practice called Sri Yaga over the new year. But I thought this is also something that goes with us because we're coming to a big change. The new year is a change. We're all coming to a change because remember, it's November. We've just come out of lockdown more and more. And they simply say the practice of Sri Yaga, and I'll be teaching this later earlier next year, is for awakening our inner fire and feeding it with all the things that otherwise we'd let go, our mental tendencies that drop away, the things we don't want to do, is for reaching our solar plexus. Our solar plexus is the center of the digestion, and it's in different words in different cultures. The center of our inner strength, the center of our healing, our nourishment, for awakening our self-trust and self-confidence. It's for proclaiming a new beginning and arising above the atmosphere of fear, uncertainty, indecisiveness, and mistrust. I love reading wisdom like this. I never shy away now from saying, but I don't have any of those. Scott M. Peck said in his book, life can be hard. So where do we start? And I thought these were wonderful. So for you that have been in my classes and heard of the vagus nerve, you know it runs down and swings out with its tendrils to all of the areas of our body, but it settles also digestion. So good digestion, good bowel movement, keeping the solar plexus working, which in yoga are the kriyas, help us to have a rich life every day of our life. Also, those that are practicing yoga, we also add with this, remember, your mantra, the mudras, the way we sit, and I can do it even when I'm walking. It's paying attention, isn't it? It's just paying attention to our daily sources, what we want to do. When we do the chair pose in yoga, that's tapas, especially if we hold it. So it's purification through discipline. You bring things into focus. Some of them are very strong in your mind that you want to do it or you don't want to do it. But other things that we're attempting to achieve are very subtle. So I don't want you to think tapas only has to be fiery and enthusiastic and bold. What about the tenaciousness when we hang in there to learn something, to relearn something, to step away until we can come back to it a minute from now and not let our unsureness take over. So tapas has got this beautiful fabric of knowing yourself and really loving yourself, to just be encouraging yourself, to take the building of discipline just step by step rather than making it hard and judging yourself. Sleep, exercise, nutrition, the career that you do or your dharma, your relaxation, all of those help you become more of who you already are, to know thyself, and they begin to ignite the flame that purifies indecision and unsureness. Now we come to how might we do this? I've mentioned quite a few, the kriyas, your practice. In a list here from a book called Sacred Moves, think about it as developing a love for yourself and the practice so you can have a good, long, healthy life every day. But keep it doable. I want you to keep it so doable and add to it rather than start off so strong and fall apart. For me, it's finding a special place, a space, keeping it clean and light and quite empty, time away from everyday life. And you know, sometimes it's really 5 to 7 minutes. It would be enough if you do it regularly, and I do it first thing in the morning, to get out of bed, feed the fire, nourish the flame, as my Nana would say. Give yourself to those moments. So, you know, in the end of all of this of tapas, it's about returning to your balance. And the balance isn't some boring existence where nothing happens. When you're in balance, the simplest of things, walking in nature, is an adventure of itself. But remember that your balance and mine comes from what we do within ourselves, not looking for outside circumstances to do it. It comes from within, developing the ability to tolerate sometimes difficult circumstances or feelings or emotions, but knowing and seeing that they are ever-changing. And remember, too, that the yamas and niyamas are about knowing yourself. I am so happy to come back to you with this. So please have a wonderful week thinking on this. I hope you listen to it more than once. I've had to. And each time I think on something new. So many blessings until I see you next time, next week, with Svadhyaya. Bye for now.
Il en est de pire, il en est de meilleur, mais à tout prendre, qu'on se pende ici, qu'on se pende ailleurs, s'il faut se pendre. Je me suis fait tout petit devant une poupée qui ferme les yeux quand on la touche. Je me suis fait